Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So the Rambam, Zolkot of the Sifra Mona Buchim, Shalakach Nikol Shenenu Shana Kodesh, Mipnei Shalokuna Fosh HaKodesh Oshim Yuchar Al Ba'ever. The Rambam says in the Mona Buchim that the reason why Rosh HaKodesh is called Loshen HaKodesh is because there are no words for things that are vulgar in Loshen Kodesh. Ke'erves ha'isha nikra osa makom. The nikra erves ha'zacha eivr. And nikra tashri shviya. So you have all these euphemisms. The language doesn't possess any natural word for it. And just kind of euphemisms. Kach pirash Rambam. By the way, the Rabbein Bechaya and Rabbi Rambam, I don't remember, they say in Pshat that it's the natural language of the Torah. In other words, a shekel is called a shekel because that's the way, you know, that's if it was something that was weighed in Lashnak, it was coins that were weighed. It's the language that is natural to the narrator of Tanakh, and that's why all the play on words, Chazal points this out, if Chazal has a built-in guarantee that it was written in Hebrew, because all sorts of words, when it says like Kain Koresh Mo Isha, because the Ishlu Kacha, and you know, Nechash Nechayshah, so all of these things make sense only in Hebrew. That's what they say. But like the Pani Rambam says, it doesn't have any coarse words. The Gam is at Tira. So first of all, we see from it, Kama Gordol Ashmira, Shalahotid of Meguneh, Kasher Halosh Nikolosh Fetchel Shain Badavadeh. So first of all, you see the Rambam's appraisal of why something would be called holy is because you don't have coarseness in it. But he says, he argues on that himself. Avol ein nirashi in Nikolosh HaKredish v'shvil shalimta b'loshin g'nai. Shem kein lo yhoya loshin kredish me'atzmoy. So he says, you're basically saying that it has the quality of kedusha because you don't have any non-kedusha. It wouldn't be a reason to sanctify what is there. We're basically just saying that we don't have any tumah in it. But how would you describe what is the kedusha component and what there is there? Avol yikar losh hakodesh mipnei shaloshen hu pri v'toldos ha'adam masha mayti nisfasa. The loshon is a sort of pre of the person. Let's explain this a little bit. A medaber, when we speak about a medaber, the partial understanding of a human being as a speaker is that, you know, if you need to get around, you have somebody with directions, could you pass the butter, please, and so on. The meaning, the way he understands it, is the meaning of medaber, he speaks a lot about it in the Sivah Lashon, is that when I think of something, when I analyze something, evaluate something, etc., and I then produce and a description, an evaluation, a judgment, and so on, then that's called koach hadibur, the ability and the for a person, and it's in a sense, it's the crown of a person, in a certain sense. In other words, having seen and spoken to the person and thought through and sorted out and so on, I now say something about the person. So that speech, in a certain sense, is the fruit. And that's why every ummah has a different language. The speaker is called ummah vum loshon ha'atzma. K'moshe kol ilan vilan yeshle krivus ha'atzmais vein zekazeh. Just like every type of tree has its own type of fruit, every type of uma has its own lashon. Amno, lashon hakodesh adibus shor mitzat kedushasoi. So he says there are two types of expressions of the person. There is the expression of the part of the self that is guf. And there's this, and there's a description of the part of himself that's neshama, that's kedusha. those different the descriptions of them are two different layers of what it is that we're describing. So a person describes, so umas ha'olam's leshonos, the leshonos of umas ha'olam are leshonos mitzad dikuf, mitzad their physical experiences, understandings, evaluations, and those languages are halukos, each umas is a different language, because each umas is of a different nature, slightly, a different a person, and those are the different languages. But a person has himself a chelik of neshama, and that's lashon kodesh. The biggest of Adam says, I think it means Adam means humanity has two different languages. Ha'echad kodesh shulodim itar kedushis yesh v'adam, v'asheni shuloshon hamoni ki yesh ram tzad chol gamkei. So a person has himself a tzad chol as well. And meaning, and I think it means in the broader sense, therefore, there is language that is a result of a person's physical materials. The difference, he says, v'chil shesh v'ashenis nishaloshen azeh boi nivra oilam. V'sham v'medrish shivaloshen zeh nivra oilam. Let's try to explain it a little bit. He says that since these are the words that the world was created with, so therefore this Lashon is Kaddish, and that's why it became Lashon Pesukim and so forth. I mean, on the surface, it sounds like a sort of a magic kind of thing. Like you use these holy words and they're very powerful words. Like you read the stuff, the modern pop Kabbalah, like the power of an Aleph and a Gimel and a Vav and a Nun is like awesome and just they have all this nuclear power in them, full of. What it means is like this: the world. The shorish of the world is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, which almost by definition is Kadosh and Le'ela and so on. That's the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to realize certain Yonim El Yonim, to be Megala certain things and so on, he created a world for the Galit, and the description of that act is Lashon HaKodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Lashon HaKodesh to describe the world that he wishes, and that's Ruchnius. And therefore, the language that would be natural for Kisra Kodesh would be Lashon HaKodesh. That's part of it. And he says, So the Lashon is the final phase of what makes a person a person. As long as the breathing and the eating and etc., those are things that are shayach to a person as well in any facet. That's shayach. But in the higher level, the person has over a Baal Chai the fact that he is a medaber. So this is the final phase of expressing himself. And the world, in turn, was realized by the creation of Adam. The klal is in every step of the process, but the last piece is what everything was the crowning achievement of everything. In other words, if in a process of building a house where I schlep the bricks and lay out the frame and cement is that the final house is the pathos of all of it. That's the crown of it. If the world waited, if you had a dinner of some sort, you wait for the guest of honor. The protocol, I know in Israel, it's so common, is the president of the state walks in first, walks in last at every occasion and walks out first. In other words, he's the one that everybody waits for, and when he comes, you get the name of the president is here. I don't know if in jail they keep the same protocols, but at the front end, when they're not in jail, that's the protocol. The person, because Adam came last, he must be that which is the safe pasuk of the world. It's the tachlis, it's the crown of the world. Since Korach HaDibur of the human kohos is sort of, in a sense, comes in last. So a kid can see first, hear, paddle, and then speak. Speech is a person's, it's a tachlis of the person. So Adam is the tachlis of the Bria, Dibur is the tachlis of Adam, and it's through Lashon Kodesh that Adam realizes his self on the highest arga. What's wrong with the Rambam's logic is he put the cart before the horse. It's not because Lashon Kodesh doesn't have any vulgar language, that's why it's Kaddish. The Diva Rambam has Sibashi Kara Loshna Kaddish, the Shosha Ain by Divar Gnai. The Dove is a Mesuva, Shoshkach Ain by Loshna Gnai, and it's a Shosha Kaddish. It's the other way around. It's because it's a Loshna Kaddish that you don't have the Shosha Gnai. When Roy Shir by Loshna Erva Gnai, Loshna Shosha Kaddish, the Gamadei Shoma Kimishu by Taktush, and Roy Lahaitid Divar Gnai, there's a lesson of Kaddish and a lesson of Gnai. I want to add a little bit more of a heads, a drop of the heads with this. Bechlal, it's the concept of a lesson Gnai and so on. And he's saying over here that because it's a lesson of Kaddish, it's not Roy that they have all these words and so on. The pshat is that revealing, Lamasa Pasik says, Kvoid Elokim Asadava, Kvoid Malachim Hakaradava. There's sometimes the covet is talking about something, and sometimes the covet is not talking about it. Talking about it means that in a certain sense, I give it a certain visibility. I'm putting it on the table, so to speak. I'm talking about it. So when I speak about my hand, so the hand is imagined by everybody. I'm talking about it. It has a certain mysterious degree. Many things are supposed to have that, but there are yonim that are not supposed to be like that. The yonim that it's covered is dafki behester. So l'mashal, all the yonim of tzniyus, because of the fact that they're not meant to be things the goalie, they're meant to be sneak. The covered lies after in not talking about it, and that's why the language doesn't have words to reveal it, because it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for the language itself. The world of Giluyim, this is not something that should be a scholar in, and therefore shouldn't be there. So he says, anything which is Gnai should not be out in the Lashon of Kaddish. This stretches also to other Gnai. In other words, the very Pashta Pshat of Nivul Peh is language that's kind of scintillating, that it suggests, you know, of course, of things and jokes and so on, those are things mitzad gidri arayis you shouldn't speak. You shouldn't speak nivopeh in the more pashut shav, the way in the Chazal, is simply words that are suggestive in the person's maharer and the person and so on and so forth. The way
this is a quick question. Why is it called nibul? What's the lot of nibul, to wear out or to?
No, well, the word nibul is los nivola, filthy, dirty, wrong, bad, etc. It's not what it says. The way he gets it, it's more general. These are inyanim that their appropriate place is the hester. These are not inyanim that belong to Goli, and the Mela one will not present those inyanim the Goli. Those are things you talk about. It includes even, let's give a marshal. Let's say somebody did something wrong. So there's the element of Lashon Hara, and Seth, when you name a specific question, so on. But let's say you're talking generally, let's say a person doesn't know who you're talking about. But you talk about things that are bad, wrong, evil, unseemly. Those are all in Yanim, so yes, when you need to speak about it, and you need to make it, there's a time when you need to inform people, to make it public. That's one thing. But when you dwell on it and talk about it, then it's something which a person needs to understand. This is not something that is spoken of. These are young that don't belong out on the table except kifir tzorech. But if there's no tzorech, these are not in yanim. It's g'nai. The world is not meant to present or project g'nai, and therefore it's unseemly on a much bigger scale than just arayas or whatever. Okay. So this is what he's.
Is he implying that there's a mila in Dafka using other languages for inyanei hol? Is that a practical thing that we would take out of this?
You know what? It's interesting. It was a point that the anti-Ibrit people made. I once read a little booklet I found someplace from when they were still fighting about the issue of Ibrit. And the man made two marvelous arguments against the speaking of Ibrit. One was what you said, that, you know, and you brought also to riot, that people didn't use Lashon Kodesh speak and so on and so forth. It's, you know, it's a mundane thing. And the second riot was, and the second point was, that anyone who has sensitive to Lashon Kodesh and to language sees that Ibrit that the Tzionim made bears absolutely no resemblance to real Lashon Kodesh. So each argument in itself, I think, is a lovely argument. The problem is when you put them together, you sort of neutralize the argument. And whatever the argument made, it's interesting, in Germany, they had a minhag that when a child would have a bris, and they'd give him a name, and then they would have a ceremony a few weeks later where they would give him a goyish name. This was by Haredi Jews in Germany. Not sure what exactly there's a silent thesis about writing a get to somebody with a goyish name, because it talks about it. Somebody became a mumer, changed his name, and so on. That I'm aware of. And one of the arguments against speaking the Brit was that. I also once heard a very interesting minhag. I bought a hat in Yerushalayim, and the salesman was a Balder Chassid. And I asked him to put, you know, a label with the name or initials in it, and he took out a labeler in English. And I asked him, what's this? So he said that the Alter Balder Rebbe said, since people sweat inside, it's not the covenant to have Hebrew letters there, and he insisted that it be an English letter. Very interesting, Hanhaga. Agapadim. But so a case may be made to that effect. Okay. Well, I mean, the Rambam lemaiz is mashma, not like that. The Rambam, when he speaks in Hilchos Tefillah, the reason why Hashem Yosef Yoel and Matak in Tefillah, he says because people had lost, that they didn't know how to speak the Lashon Kodesh anymore, and they were messing up terribly all of the, you know, they couldn't make Tefillahs that were really good. So the Mela, they were attacking, Hashem Yosef Yoel had to make a standardized Mitzvah Tefillah because people's own compositions were horrible. But Mashma, before that, people were fluent in Hebrew, spoke Hebrew, and that was common. It was only when they returned from Babel and so on that they picked up their languages. Okay, next piece. Upeh shosh anagach, omer apchir ba'aba ambeitan. Eina kadosh baruch mitapeach apilu schar sicha. That even if a person's, the good thing a person did is just somebody spoke, the older one is called Mayav. She called him with the name Me'av, and therefore, it's something about it that's kind of vulgar. I mean, she's saying that this child comes from the father. So the reason why we were not allowed to fight with Amon was because of the Mitzvah name, like language. He says, if you think back to the Kodesh Amens before, you'll understand it more specifically. The first thing is, we remember from before, speaking about Leah and Rachel, the tzniyos there was in the tzira more than the tzira. In other words, being hidden more, kind of, being, it didn't come out as early, and so on. So that's dafka to the tzira. That's something which is miyuchas to the tzira. The aladavadav nishat tzira mukhenes and batzias mashivam lamaitz arochol shaytaktane vaysiyisat tzanua shatzira mizaytaktane yis mukhenes al tzias omitzar achanosa ba'atzma al tzias vayizara dhime b'mal yisrael sheshma al tzias vaydekach lichush yisrael asim al mukhama. So they had the mile of tzniyus. That's one. Secondly, from if they kach, the Yehoshua Yisrael asked him, I'm more chama. Sorry, but oi, kia tzniyus shu nista v'nitma, v'ro she'achoyse tachas kanfei ha-shmira, she'nishra v'yoyse, she'ze in ha-tzniyus shu ro'a ha-shmira ma-shemispa, al she'achoyse tachas kanfei ha-shemispa. So he said the second nekuda, which he also spoke about before, it goes back to the Kurdish I said before, and that was that Tznius itself is a Dover Mishumah. The ability for something to affect something else is only Begoli. When something has a presence, then it's possible to affect it. When it has a larger presence, you can affect it in more places. So in the world of affecting things and hurting things, Gilui is much worse. That's why it says Dagim Ein Har is not Shalit and Dagim Shabiyam, because they're hidden. And then we spoke about a bit back before. So he says that if they're not starting off the war with Amon, the not being misguided Amon, is A, that the general, let's say generals hired its meals, that you know that they're higher people, better people, cause high, so fine. And then there's a deeper Nakuda in that they are a lot more shayach to Shmira. They are hidden from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're hidden in this world, and things are not so gigantic. That's the second part, why there's no, why we're told not to start with it. The, so the mindset, his point over here is that the, sneers in Russian, which is really basically the point he's speaking about, is that, since sneers is a quality of gilu, in other words, sneers is a negative gilu, but the axis along which sneers is a mila is gilu. There's complete gilu, there's complete tsunua. So that mila, that quality should be attributed most specifically to kreach of the dibur, because dibur is the gili of the person. Dibur is there to be megala. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm hungry, I insult you, whatever it is that I do, the kreach hapeh is the kreach gili. That's why these inyanim are all, especially in kreach hapeh, one has a special chiyuv for tzniyus, because that's the mohus of that age. Okay, let's see. I think we can start over the psychology. What's the story here?
Sorry, just one more question.
Sure.
What's your dibur? It is also possible to... a short dibur can hide a lot of things within it.
Well, the Rambam says it is a very interesting. I heard this from Ramesh Shapiro, I don't know, since going back 30 some odd years ago, and he was learning, that time was learning Rambam, what he says. The Rambam speaks about the Maila of Shtika, and he says that there are two Mailas. One is not to speak stupidity, but to speak to Tayyar and Kachma. And the second one is that even the Divrei Torah that you learn should be Divrei Torah, should be said as in brevity. What's interesting is, so the Parsha Pshat you learn, the Gemara says you learn in brevity. The Parsha Pshat is, it's just pedagogically, it's much easier to remember two lines than a whole page. And so if you're teaching, you stick to as short a formulation as you can. That's the Parsha Pshat. He was Madaic, but the Rambam brings it as a Milan in Shtika. Not as in the Hilchot Talmud Torah about what's appropriate ways of teaching, it's a Hilchot Shtika and so on. That's one point. Another point is the Gemara in Pesachim that it brings here about, saying the Russian, being part of the Pasuk and saying the Russian, that's Nikia. The Gemara there says saying it in a brief lashon is as important almost, and it's even not clear from the Gemara when you're stuck between a short lashon and a long lashon nekia that's long, or short lashon and not nekia, which is better. So the Torah is ma'akim, but most times the Torah is not ma'akim. The word ma'akim, I said before, means that he went out of his way. It's an unusual form of expression. So the parsha pshat here would have to be, in pshat it seems to be that in the same realm that nekius is significant, so too is dibuk tzara. Talking a lot, saying a lot of details, overusing words, and so on, is also a sort of exhibitionism of sorts. It's sort of the person is being megala too much. And the Gemara says, the Gemara brings by Shaul the pasuk when he asks the ladies, the shepherds, which way to go here, and they respond with a long monologue of it went here and it went there. The Gemara makes a comment about it. That there was a deliberateness to it, they kind of were flirting with it. The it sneers in its deepest sense includes keeping down inside, not exhibiting that which needs not and its purpose. No exhibition is the shame exhibition. In a deep sense, sneers is a positive virtue across the board. And therefore, in Dibur itself, that's why the Gemara weighs the Lashon Shetzara versus Lashon Nekiyah, because they're of the same genre. Okay, any other questions? So I think we'll hold it here. It's a bit late to start. I mean, the next one is a long piece. So, submit some of next week. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos.
Yeah.
Sorry, really.